created. So we're bringing this to conclusion. You'll notice from this text, it concisely summarizes that God had completed his work of creation. At different places in these three verses, you'll find that there's a word or words that are often repeated. They're emphasized. They emphasize that God had finished his work. And so if you like to mark your Bibles, you can underline or circle that word finished. And we'll also see that he uses the word seventh repeatedly. He does this intentionally. But as we look at this text, I believe the overarching message is God wants his people to remember to rest. To remember to rest. And so let's begin with verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth, in other words, everything that existed above the earth and everything that existed on the earth, the heavens and the earth were finished in all the host of them. And verse 2, and on the seventh day, that word's going to be repeated through these three short verses a couple times. It's significant. Seven often is associated with completeness, with perfection. And when I read that the number seven dominates this opening section, not only in the number of words in a particular section, but in the number of times a specific word or phrase recurs, when I read that, I had to see it for myself. And so I just want to share what I have found, and just I want you to marvel at God's intentionality with even this type of thing. Genesis 1:1. We don't see it in our English Bible, but in the Hebrew, the original language, Genesis 1:1 is made up of seven Hebrew words. That's pretty marvelous. Genesis 1:2 consists of 14 Hebrew words. Genesis 2:1-3, it consists of 35 Hebrew words. I find it fascinating. God is mentioned from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 2:3 35 times. Earth is mentioned 21 times. Good is mentioned 7 times in this text. So for all you math whizzes who are out there, like me, this stuff intrigues you. What does 7, 14, 21, and 35, what do they all have in common, math whizzes? Answer. They're all multiples of 7. Completion, perfection. Verse 2, on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So let's focus now on that word rested. It means refrain from work. And while he refrained from work on the seventh day, he took pleasure in everything that he had made on this day. Later, Moses wrote in Exodus that it is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth. And on the seventh day, what did God do? Read it with me, church. He rested and he was refreshed. Now, please understand, when we read this word rested, nowhere do we read God was so exhausted after 6 busy days of work that he had to get some R&R. He needed some rest and some relaxation. Don't take this to mean that God must have laid down on that couch or that Davenport in heaven and caught 40 winks for a little while. He didn't take a nap, but that's often what we associate that word rested with. We can't think for a moment that God rested, that he was indifferent to everything that he had made, that he was indifferent to what everything was doing that he had made, because it's never the case. You can read in the scripture, it says, our God neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's fully aware. This word just means, in this context, Genesis 2:1-3, it means he ceased from activity. So rested to us, what's it to mean? It means to cease from being busy. Cease from busyness. Alan P. Ross, he suggests that it describes the enjoyment of accomplishment, the celebration of completion. So in 6 days, God created everything out of nothing. And in Genesis 2:2, it says he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. Here in Genesis 2:2, friends, he's establishing a pattern for his people to follow, for you and me to follow. By his example, he's showing us that there's a pattern for how we are to live our lives. And that pattern involves both work and it involves rest. That's what's going on here. And so with that being known, therefore, friends, it's important for you and me to be sure to rest like God. Rest like God. I agree with John Salehammer. He said, part of bearing the likeness and image of God involves resting as he did after completing his work. And verse 3 says, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. So as you can read, just these two verses, verse 2, verse 3, the seventh day here in this text, it's especially significant, friends. That phrase, the seventh day, is mentioned 3 times. It's a day where God has now ceased from his work of creation. It's a day, we've just read verse 3, that he blessed. And not only did he bless the seventh day, it says he made it holy. What does that mean? It means he set it apart. He made it unique. He made it different from the other 6 days. He sanctified the seventh day. He made it holy, meaning he made it to be a memorial, a celebration of all of his creative work. And the fact that this creation narrative ends this way in verse 3 with God blessing the seventh day and making it holy, the fact that that's there, I think the implication for you and I this morning is it seems then that God wants you and me to set apart 1 day out of 7 to be different. To be different from what our normal routine is. And even though we don't read that God specifically commanded Adam to abstain from work on the Sabbath, we have to look at Genesis 2, 1 through 3 from the vantage point of who this was written originally to. It was written to the children of Israel who are about to enter into the promised land. They've been wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. And during their journey from Egypt to Canaan, God gave them the law through Moses. And if you're familiar with the Ten Commandments, you would then be probably familiar with the fourth commandment. Without looking in your Bibles, could anyone say, I think I know what the fourth commandment is because I'm hearing where you're going with this. Anybody want to be bold? Remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. That was a command that God had given to Israel. Let's look at that in Exodus 20, verses 8 and 9. Goes on and says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. This is the law. It's one of the four, it's one of the Ten Commandments. It's the fourth one. And I imagine this was hard for God's people to obey. I say that because it seems like many men and women and children find it extremely hard to be still and rest. Would you agree with that? But God told Israel to remember the rest day. It's another way of him being able to tell them, don't forget to take a day off, to set it aside to, as not from your normal routine. And when it came to the Sabbath day, he instructed them to keep it holy, to set it apart from the other 6 days. They were commanded to follow God's pattern. Moses writes it out here. 6 days the Lord worked and created heaven and earth, and the seventh day he rested. So follow God's example. Keep the Sabbath for the Lord. In other words, they were to make sure their rest was God-centered. Keeping it holy meant they kept an extraordinary focus on that day, on the great and holy God. And as you can tell, the Sabbath day was not to be a day for the children of Israel to just relax and be entertained. In other words, it was not designed and given to them as a command so that they would be able to say, oh, hey, God wants me to go catch a movie today. God wants me to go for a swim or lounge by the pool or tee it up and hit a round of 18. God wants me to go watch a ball game. That's not what God intended with telling them to remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. The Sabbath day was a day that belonged to God. They were to set apart the Sabbath day to worship and serve the Lord. It was a day for them to remember each week that God created them. A day for them to rejoice each week that God chose them to be his special people. It was a day that they were to set apart their work and their activities and set apart themselves to their Lord. And Moses goes on in this instruction in the law, and he says, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. It goes back to Genesis 2:3 teaching. God made the Sabbath day a time that was rich with blessings. He made it holy, as set apart as a time for Israel to especially focus on what is holy, namely God Almighty himself. And I really appreciate Piper's remarks regarding Exodus 20, verse 11. John Piper says, God's saying, in effect, let my highest creature, the one in my image, stop every 7 days and commemorate with me the fact that I'm the creator who's done all this. Let him stop working and focus on me, that I am the source of all that he has. I am the fountain of blessing. I have made the very hands and mind with which he works. Let one day out of 7 demonstrate that all land and all animals and all raw materials and all breath and strength and thought and emotion and everything come from me. Let man look to me in leisure one day out of 7 for the blessing that is so elusive in the affairs of this world. And when I think about that, and I think about how the children of Israel were to operate regarding this command, I truly believe that when they discovered that when they obeyed their Creator, the law that he gave them here, when they remembered this rest day and they kept their focus on the holy God, we can read through Scripture, when they did this, this nation was blessed. And today as a church, I realize we are no longer under this specific law. But God wants us still to rest like him. I'm firmly convinced, brothers and sisters in Christ, that when we set apart one day out of 7 and make it different from our normal routine, and during that day we especially focus our attention on God, I believe that if we would do that each week, we will receive more of a blessing than if we just worked every single day of each week. It's foolish to think that rolling in the dough and climbing up that corporate ladder is going to bring you eternal happiness and satisfaction, because it won't. The corporate world always lets you down. The workplace always lets you down. God wants us to rest like him. Take one day a week and set it aside. Rest like him. Focus on what truly is most important. God promises it's marvelous to supply our every need in 6 days of work. That's the truth. The fact that God wants us to rest like him, take it a day to enjoy what really counts, all this speaks volumes to how great our God is and how gracious he is and how good he is to us. And so when we think of all this and we just go, wow, God has set it up where he wants us to rest one day a week. He is good. He knows what's best for us. Then why do so many people struggle with taking that day to rest like God? And friends, there's a lot of ways we could answer that question. But I think whatever way we answer that, I think all our answers boil down to this foundational truth. The reason why so many people have a hard time taking time each week to rest like God is because so many people's hearts are focused on trying to find their ultimate enjoyment in what is created instead of finding their ultimate enjoyment in the Creator. That's why we find it a struggle to rest like God so often. And believers, if you find yourself currently in this dilemma, this situation we're talking about, there's hope for you. You can repent of conducting yourself, trying to find enjoyment in something or someone that's created instead of in God. You can repent of that. You can get back to taking delight in the Lord. And when you find yourself taking delight in the Lord, you'll find yourself resting like He did, and you'll find yourself in your life with inexpressible joy. There's hope for you. God wants us to rest like Him. Secondly, God wants us to rest in Him. This entire narrative from Genesis 1:1 to 2:3, it shows all of God's people, He's good. Good shows up 7 times in this whole entire text. He's the all-powerful God. He spoke by His word, and He transformed everything that was without form and void and everything that was covered in darkness, Genesis 1:2. And He spoke it all into an orderly, good, and blessed creation. And Moses delivered this creation narrative to his people. And he encouraged them as they prepared to enter this promised land that their great and good God had promised to them, the land of Canaan. He wanted them to make the connection here that their Creator God is the same God that delivered them out of Egypt. It's the same God who took them out of that dark and pagan and chaotic environment of Egypt and is leading them to the land of rest. Moses wanted them to make that connection, that their Creator God is the same God that made them a holy nation. He's the same God who has abundantly provided for their needs in the wilderness in unique and marvelous ways. Manna and the ravens and the water out of the rock. He wanted to make the connection. It's the same God that's been teaching them what's right and what's wrong and how to get right and how to stay right. And He's leading them to this land that He's promised them, this land where they would find rest from 40 years of wandering. And this whole idea of rest, it was built into the law. The law was delivered, Exodus 20. It was also written again in Deuteronomy 5. And specifically, when you talk about the fourth commandment here, it's written that they were to remember that they were a slave in the land of Egypt. And the Lord your God brought them out. For there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, therefore the Lord your God commanded them to keep the Sabbath day. So for them, the Sabbath was a day where they were commanded to remember your God is your Creator, but it's also a day for them to remember your God is your Redeemer. He's your Deliverer. He's your Sustainer. He's your Sanctifier. So on that day, they were commanded, cease from working and rest in God. Focus on Him. Look to Him as their ultimate source of every blessing. And we have focused in these three short verses here, Genesis 2, 1 through 3, how important it is for you and me to rest like God and to rest in God. And as we look at this, it's hard to not think back to what we have seen on the news the past 2 weeks. It's hard for us to look at this text and to hear this message and say, wow, Pastor, if you would know the people I have been around this week, if you would have heard the hurt coming out of their mouth or observed in their life, or Pastor, if you would even just know a little snippet of the turmoil that I am currently going through right now in my life, people are not at all at rest. People are restless. And yet you're saying from God's word here, we're to rest like God and rest in God. Early Christian philosopher and theologian, I think, said something very intriguing. He said, thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. And this theologian specifically suggests in Genesis 2:2, God finished all his work that he had done and he rested on the seventh day. He suggests it's as if God was saying, this is the destiny of those who are my people, to rest as I rest, to rest in me. And that was definitely God's desire for his chosen people that this was originally written to. He brought them out of restlessness in Egypt. He was leading them through the promise, through the wilderness to the promised land. And he was telling them, this is a land that's full of blessing. This is a place where you will finally be able to find rest. But as you know how this account unfolds, you know not everyone from Israel entered into that land. You know not everyone entered into the rest. And if you're not familiar with the Bible, you may be wondering, well, why is that? And the answer is because these people, God's people, some of them rebelled. Some of them listened to 10 faithless spies' bad report about the promised land. And they hardened their hearts. And they cried out and they grumbled against the Lord. And they said, let's choose another leader and let's go back to Egypt. And the psalmist writes about this. He said they put God to test. They put him to the proof, though they had seen his work. And God replied, for 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. God judged them, friends. He made the children of Israel wander in the wilderness for 40 years to make sure that generation of people did not enter the land, did not enter his rest. And all this brings us to an important question then. If that was the case for his people then is there any hope for our restlessness? And the good news of that answer is, friends, the answer is yes. There is hope for our restlessness. The author of Hebrews actually addresses this whole subject of rest. From chapter 3:7 to 4:13, he's promoting in Hebrews a rest for the people of God. And in his teaching on this subject in Hebrews 4, he went back to the beginning, what we're looking at this morning in Genesis 2. He quotes from this text saying, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Amen? For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. What is the author of Hebrews emphasizing in these 26 verses? Here's what he's emphasizing. He's saying the only way for God's people to be able to rest in God is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By way of example, this author of Hebrews, he too quoted from Psalm 95, verse 8. He exhorted believers to hear God's voice. Do not harden your hearts like the children of Israel did in the wilderness. And instead, he exhorts them, put off your sin. Put off anything else that keeps you from the Lord and rest in God. Enter into his rest through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. So as we look at all the tragedies that have happened around the country, and around our own very neighborhood, our own very family, maybe our own very personal lives, as we look at all of that, friends, the main reason why so many people are restless today is because of sin. In order for us to be able to rest in God, our sin must be dealt with. And the bad news is there's absolutely nothing that guilty sinners like you and me can do in order to be able to enter into God's rest on our own. But what we can't do, guess what? Jesus Christ did for us. He died on the cross for us. He shed his blood. He paid in full the penalty that we deserve for our sins. And I really love how Henry Morris connects Genesis 2, 1 through 3 to the gospel in John 19. He wrote, through God's work of creation, though it was finished, he very soon had to undertake the great work of redemption. Finally, even that work was finished when the Son of God, the Redeemer on the cross, shouted the mighty cry of victory, "It is finished." And then once again, God rested, listen to this, on the Sabbath day in Joseph's tomb until the dawning of the first day of the new week and new age. Friends, Jesus victoriously arose from the dead on that third day. And today, loved ones, if you find your life just full of guilt, if you find that you are just restless in your soul, Christ personally invites you from his word to come to him. He says, come to me, all who are restless. And he promises you, when you come to him, this is what he'll give you. I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so I urge you, friends, if you have not come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I urge you right where you're sitting to come to Jesus, to believe in him as your personal Savior, because only those who have a relationship with God by faith in Jesus Christ will be able to do what we're talking about today, rest like God and rest in God. Believers, I realize, myself included, even though we are now in Christ, we still are troubled by sin. Sin will always make us feel restless, and if it doesn't, you better check your heart. Do you truly know the Lord? But because we know the Lord genuinely, we who belong to him, because of our faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work for our sins, what he accomplished for them on the cross, we have entered into God's rest now, but we look forward to the ultimate realization of that rest. So the promised land for Israel, for you and I, what is that? It's heaven. It's heaven being like and being with our Lord and Savior. And there's coming a day where God's coming back for us. And when we meet him in the clouds, we will be like him. And we will live with him forever. And we will enter into that rest and be in that rest forever. All the days of eternity. And I love as we wait for that day where we get to fully experience the rest that we have in God through faith in Jesus Christ, as we await for the day that our Savior returns, I'm so thankful that we can cling to the very words he gave his own disciples before he left. In John 14, he said to them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If we're not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and I'll take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Until this day, church, God wants you and I to remember to rest like God. He wants us to faithfully set apart one day out of the seven to be different from what's our normal routine. To faithfully take a day and to enjoy what really matters, namely our Creator, our Sustainer, our Deliverer, our Sanctifier. He wants us to remember to rest in God. Our Creator God is worthy of our obedience. And I tell you, if we're able to rest in God in a restless culture, do you know what that does? It sends a beacon of light out. How do they have hope in the midst of this hopelessness? How do they have rest in the midst of this restlessness? And when they see that in us, you know what it provides for us? Marvelous opportunities to fulfill the commission he's given us to make disciples, to share that this rest is available to them through faith in Jesus Christ. So remember to rest, friends. Rest like God, rest in God. Father, thank you so much for this text, for this lesson from Scripture. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to take it to heart, to actually live this out. We know our lives would be so much more blessed to be obedient and to do so. Help us to be intentional with the day of rest, the one out of each week, to intentionally focus and enjoy on what you want us to focus on and enjoy, namely yourself. Father, I don't know the condition of any of the hearts here, but my own. And I pray for those who right now are experiencing restlessness in their soul, that if they need help on what it means to come to know Jesus Christ, that they would get that help from either me or someone they're sitting next to before they leave. I pray today would be the day that they find their rest in you through Jesus Christ. Use this message in a powerful way for your glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue to worship our Lord and let's sing together. So would you stand with us and let's conclude our service singing this song.